Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I was also going to ask Paul Hamilton if put on his like music selection on his pod or his phone, what the most likely band or artist was going to come up either. And I thought, I don't know if that's appropriate to ask Paul. I don't really know what he would say. If he'd be like, wait a minute, that's kind of, but I'm going to do it anyway, just because I'm very curious. All right, Paul, let's do it. Before we get into it, I just asked George Helkovich, the head coach at UB men's basketball, if he put his iPod or his iPhone, whatever, on shuffle, what's the most likely music selection band or artist to come up? How about with you? What do you even use to listen to music, Paul? That's what I want to know.
I am all over the place. I mean, you will hear Zeppelin. You will hear Deep Purple. Okay. You will hear ABBA. You will hear Heart. You will hear...
I'm the same way, man.
Shania Twain.
Yes!
You will hear Little Big Town. You will hear...
Okay.
I'm just all over the place. I was a big Zeppelin fan growing up. You know, okay. The Who, Zeppelin, the Stones, you know, that type of thing growing up. And still am. I still enjoy it. You know, there's quite a bit of Zeppelin on there. But even like one-hit wonders you might find on my, you know, on my there too. Like if I hear a song, I'll write it down. And then when I'm downloading music, I'll get to it and put it on or something. So I'm just all over the place when it comes to that.
I'm the same way, Paul. Very eclectic music selection and taste, no doubt about it. I love that from you. Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline, and his appearance, of course, as always, brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Well, Paul, obviously the Sabres are searching for their first win of the season after an 0-3 start, but heck, they're searching for their first lead of the season. They just can't seem to score a goal, many goals, and they can't get out front. What is the team saying about trying to fix their scoring woes right now?
And that's the crazy part about it, is not only have they lost three in a row, but as you mentioned, they have not even had the lead in any game. And that's unheard of. I mean, that just makes it even worse, in my opinion, that, you know, the Colorado was just here. They have two players after that game who have 8 points each.
Oh, my God.
Buffalo has
scored
2 goals.
I didn't realize that. That's crazy.
McKinnon and Natchez both have 8 points after that game. And Buffalo has 2 goals. I mean, it's that kind of puts it in perspective for you how bad this start has been for the Buffalo Sabres. And, you know, at least the Colorado game, you saw spurts of pretty good hockey, especially in the first period. Like, I just asked Lindy, we just spoke with him. It's like the Thompson line, they put Thompson back at center with Tuck and Doan. First period, they were around the crease the whole period and almost scored a couple of times. Thompson had a wide open net on a rebound, and the puck bounced on him, and he couldn't settle it. They were there, and the reason they had these opportunities, they were there, but then it ended. And it's like, well, the hockey game is 60 minutes. It's not just 20. You know, then guys weren't around the net as much as they should have been. And that's the thing that they have to get going here. Ruff talked about faceoffs. Yeah, they were counting on Norris to do that. But he said a guy like McLeod, he was over 50% last year. He's down in the 30s. I don't know what's happened to Ryan McLeod. Lindy Ruff said he basically has been on the wrong side of the puck in both zones, the offensive zone and the defensive zone. But he is as good as he was last year as how bad he was this year. And that's one thing Ruff wanted to stress. First, he wouldn't tell us if Kulik was going to play. Yesterday in practice, Kulik was on a line with like Gertsen and Greenway. He wasn't even on a regular line. Obviously sending a message to him. And as he said yesterday, that's not good enough, what we have seen from him. And a lot of fans were like, well, why are they just picking on him? Well, you only have 23 on the roster. You can't bench 8 guys. And Ruff was very careful to talk about that today. He wasn't going to tell us, and then he said, all right, I'll tell you, Kulik's playing. But he said, this isn't all on Kulik, and I want to stress that. He goes, there are a lot of other people who could be in the same boat. And he goes, I have had discussions with many of them, including McLeod. And so, you know, he wanted to see how Kulik would respond. He goes, I didn't talk to him yesterday. because I wanted to see how he responded to what was happening to him in practice. And he must have liked the response he saw because he's going to be in the lineup today against Ottawa.
Paul, today, Lindy was on the morning show with Jeremy and Joe. I really enjoyed listening to him because he sounded like, I mean, he was energized. It wasn't like in a mean tone. It was more of a sense of urgency. And what I got from him was when he was talking about guys stepping up and when there's opportunity for you to take hold of that, it really felt to me like, and I know coaches do this sometimes, I don't normally get this from Lindy, it really felt like he was sending a message to his room and those guys through our show, through WGR and through Jeremy and Joe, the way he was talking.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is, I had Yuri Kulik for the pregame show last game, and one of the things we talked about is this being an opportunity for him. You know, with Josh Norris out a couple of months, I mean, Kulik can jump into that number one center slot or number two center slot if Thompson slides over to center and stays there, which he was at center the last game. But last year, Kulik did take advantage of it. He actually excelled and got better when they moved him to center and he was playing with Thompson, and things were going well for him. And you know, he, along with most of the other players, have just not been there whatsoever in the first three games. It has to be better. You can't rest on your laurels and say, well, you know, last year I got better and I've had a really good second half of the season and they were counting on me in all situations. And, you know, this is hopefully for him a learning experience at a very young age. And you'll see a different Yuri Kulik in this game against the Ottawa Senators. But this, you know, with an injury to Norris, he can take control here. He can make, you know, make it show Lindy Ruff, hey, whether Norris is in the lineup or not, I belong in the top six. And that's what I was drafted to do. And that's what I was developed to do in Rochester. And it's his job to show Ruff that, hey, I can be part of that top six for a long time to come.
Paul Hamilton on the West Hur Hotline. All right, Paul, we just talked about the Sabres not having a lead. The Rangers, they have no goals in any of their first three home games. First team in NHL history to accomplish that unfortunate feat, which is they've not scored a goal in their first three home games to start a season. I bring them up because they come to Buffalo. They're all over the Sabres in the first period in the opener. Alex Lyon kind of saves them, but they do wind up with four goals that night. How about on the back end? What have you seen from the mantra has been from Lindy, we got to make sure that we keep pucks out of our net. We got to play better at the blue line. It felt like they were very, very confident in being able to do that. But what have you seen from that group so far this year?
Well, that was basically a 1-0 boring game until very late.
Yep.
In that game. It was both teams were cutting off chances. The Sabres were playing pretty well defensively. Lyon was playing pretty well. The Sabres just had to find their feet after maybe the first half of the first period. Did that. It really limited the chances. I'm thinking back. I believe it was four or five shots they gave up. Excuse me, in the second period, and didn't give up very many chances. But the Rangers were doing the same thing. They were cutting off the Sabres. I mean, think about it. They got 37 shots on Shesterkin. Did he really have to make all that many difficult saves? I mean, he didn't stand on his head by any means.
No.
He just made the saves he had to make.
He saw everything cleanly.
Right.
Everything.
Right. The Sabres weren't around the net. He made the saves that he had to. No goofy goal went by him. And so that it was more an offensive output. They got the second. It was a giveaway by Krebs near the end of the third period. That was the second goal, and they wound. And then a tip in was the third, a minute later, and then they got an empty netter. And the same thing in Boston. As bad as they played in Boston, and they were horrendous, especially in the first period, skiing out shots 17-2. The whole period was in their end. Until 3 seconds were left in the game, it was still a 2-1 game. I mean, they could have scored with the goaltender pulled and gotten points out of that game. And that brings us to another point. They got to find a way to get points in that game. Even though they played poorly, by the end of the game, there they are sitting there with 5 minutes left down a goal. You got to find a way to get points in a game like that, even though you didn't play your best. Good teams come away in that game with points. And that's why they're good teams. And, you know, they couldn't do that. And then the empty netter was with 3 seconds left. So, you know, they gave up 3 goals in that game, 1 an empty netter. They were horrendous, but Lyon was fantastic, and they still basically were playing a 2-1 game. So, really, what are we talking about here? They pretty much could be 3-0 just as easily as they're 0-3 if a couple of things went their way or they played a little bit better offensively, because they've been sitting in these games one goal down for a lot of the game.
The Sabres are one of three teams to not have a goal yet on the power play. And by the way, the other two, very interesting, the other two, the Canucks and the Maple Leafs. The Maple Leafs are 0-8, by the way, to start the year on the power play. The Sabres are 0-11. They've had the most chances without scoring a goal of any team in the league. 0-11 to start the power play. Paul, what is going wrong?
Any power play that has Rasmus Dahlin as its quarterback should be a phenomenal power play. And it just has not materialized since basically he's been here. I mean, with the talent that he has and the vision that he has, but it just seems like he presses on the power play and then winds up making a bad play, or he doesn't shoot enough, so they don't respect the shot because they're thinking, well, we don't have to because he's not going to shoot all that often. And they're always leaning towards Thompson, and most teams have taken Thompson away now. That's why I would have liked to, you know, one of the things with if Norris could have stayed healthy, I wonder if that power play could have come into shape with him in one circle and Thompson in the other. I wonder if that threat would have really helped develop the number one power play unit. We're not going to see that. McLeod was over there for a while. That, I don't know why. If Kulik's in your lineup, it's got to be him. He's got a cannon for a shot. You want somebody in that circle with a left-handed shot. I think, you know, if it's going to be successful, it's got to be him. But Rasmus Dahlin, maybe he's just got to calm down and not get so frustrated. He is a frustrating – I mean, look at the penalty he took late in that game in Colorado to basically take out any chance the Sabres had of coming back. It was just a stupid frustration penalty that he took. He takes those all the time. He wears his heart on his sleeve. He wants to win so badly, and he's so frustrated with the losing that then he does stupid things. And, you know, that's why I think he gets frustrated with the power play. We asked him about it the other night after Colorado game. He doesn't know what to say. It's like, we got to be better. You know, and I said, well, do you have to work harder winning battles? He goes, we got to do everything harder. You know, I don't think he just knows what to say, but I'm baffled. Any power play that's run by Rasmus Dahlin should be a good power play.
Paul, where is this team with notable injuries right now?
Samuelson didn't skate today, but he skated on his own. Ruff said he expects he might be able to play by the weekend. It looks like Benson is playing today. I think he's going to still have to wear that plastic shield on his face. But that will help, having him in the lineup. So if people think the Sabres have to make a move, they don't. He never wound up on IR, so he was still on the roster. So they don't have to make a move. I imagine it was optional today, so I couldn't tell. Maybe Dunn would come out of the lineup and Benson would go in. But instead of Doan on that line with Thompson and Tuck, I would imagine Benson will step in like he did in practice yesterday. And that makes another line better with Doan going to another line. Mm-hmm. You know, if Zucker's out there with McLeod and you put Doan out there with them, I think that's going to be a very useful line. The best McLeod played is when he played with Zucker and Greenway last year. And that was an excellent line. And I think Doan's similar to Greenway and that type of a player. So I would think Benson can only help in this situation playing against the Senators tonight.
Greenway still a little bit away, right? He came back to practice, but not playing
yet. Yeah, they
just
got to get him some practices now. I chatted with him yesterday. Folks will hear him on the pregame show. He's basically no pain, very frustrated that he had to have another surgery, that the surgery in December was not successful and they had to do it again. But he said he's in a good place right now. Practice went well. It was the first time he'd been skating, rehab practices, but that was the first time with the team. He felt it went well. But as Ruff said, I mean, he hasn't played a game since, what is it, last December, I believe, somewhere in there. So you got to get him some practices and that type of thing. Lukanen, don't be surprised if he winds up in Rochester for some rehab starts. He's only played one period since last April. So, you know, he was just out there now. He just left the ice from the optional morning skate. He said yesterday, too, that he was not in any pain anymore. He felt good. So I would think, and Ruff did admit that's a possibility. So I would think within the next half week to a week, you might see him head down to Rochester and get a couple of rehab starts.
And then Trying to look out who else. There was one other I was going to ask you about. Oh, yeah, Kesselring. Kesselring, anything on him right now?
All Ruff said yesterday is he's improving, but, you know, we have not seen him in practice or anything like that. They definitely are missing him. He hasn't played his first game as a Buffalo Sabre. He certainly would help. One thing, Ruff, and he clarified it for me yesterday, because I was a little puzzled after the game when he told me they were fatigued in the third period, and it's the third game of the year, and you haven't had a back-to-back. How the heck are you fatigued? He was talking about his top 4D. He wasn't really playing Bryson and Johnson all that much by the third period. He was rolling 4D, and he explained, he goes, it was the 4D that were starting to get fatigued, and they weren't breaking out of the zone as crisply, and that's why they were having trouble in the third period. But, hey, Johnson and Bryson, they're NHL players. If your four are getting fatigued, you dressed them. You got to put them in there. If they're not good enough to be in there, good enough to be on your depth chart, then find somebody that is. But you can't just keep running out fatigued players and then, you know, having that happen. But, you know, I was glad I asked him, because it wasn't making any sense to me to hear that the whole team was fatigued. It was basically because he played the heck out of his top four defensemen.
I am looking, and I think this is right, what I'm looking at. So the Sabres are 0 for 11 on the power play. They're also 11 for 11 killing penalties, though,
they
to
are.
Be honest, which is interesting.
Yeah, they are.
They're one of only four teams that have not allowed a power play goal. The others are the Bruins, the Panthers, and the Rangers.
That's crazy. They're, like, horrendous on the power play and one of the best on the penalty kill.
Yes,
and
it's amazing.
Have done a very good job of that. And Lyon has helped, too. You've heard the old saying that your goaltender has to be your best penalty killer. And when he's had to make a good save on the penalty kill, he has. But he makes the good save, and there's somebody there to clear the rebound. You know, the other team's not getting 2-3 kicks at the can. You know, it's like, all right, he had to make a good save from the slot, but all right, clear the rebound, get rid of it, get it down ice, whatever. Matter of fact, the Sabres actually had a couple of opportunities shorthanded the other game. They had a 2-on-1 in Boston that Tuck didn't put away. And again, you get those opportunities. I know McLeod had one. You get those opportunities, a 2-on-1 or shorthanded. You capitalize on that. Instead of being a goal down, you're tied. I mean, as bad as they played, that's the thing. If you just convert a chance like that or get a break or something like that, even though you're playing poorly, you could have gotten points out of these games because you were only one goal down.
Well, they're 0-3. They need some points now. No Brady Tkachuk tonight, by the way, for the Ottawa Senators as well. He's going to be out sometime.
Yeah, for
so
over
you're not
a month.
Get,
a month or over
the,
for him. So that,
right,
that Tkachuk really hurts them.
Yeah, Tkachuk and Norris, really good friends. I know that was a big deal when he was traded. But Dylan Cousins back tonight, right, obviously?
Yep.
And I know he did return last year. But, yeah, that's a big deal for them. You're right, on the Senators' side. By the way, I looked it up. In case you were curious, I don't know if you knew this or not, the longest streak to start a season without a power play goal in NHL history, 51 power plays not long ago, the 2014 Maple Leafs, the team that wound up getting Austin Matthews.
Yes, I didn't know that. That is interesting, and I don't know if you know this. The Buffalo Sabres, in their history, have never started 0-4-0.
Okay.
They have started 0-3-0, but they have never started 0-4-0.
Let's hope that doesn't happen tonight. 7 o'clock downtown. Paul, have all the coverage at PHAM1717 and WGR550.com. Thanks a lot, buddy. Have a great day.
No problem. Take care.
You got it. Joe Calley, how about that? Did you see that? Did you know that? 0 for 11 on the power play, but 0 for 11 against them on the power play. Like, they've killed off 11 straight penalties. They've not scored on 11 straight power plays.
No, that's the season. It's pretty remarkable. I had no idea. That's quite the stat. You can cancel it out, but you can't do it yourself. That's pretty interesting, you know?
It is. I mean, if you had to be really good at one, I would choose penalty kill more than power play.
Yeah, if you had to pick,
because
for
you know,
sure.
You know what I mean? But you got to get some goals on the power play, one of three teams. And how about the Maple Leafs not scoring yet on the power play this year?
Yeah. Pretty interesting. It's weird to see these, like, not shutouts, but power play shutouts and stuff like that. Like, it's just interesting. It's not what you would expect.
Rangers have not scored a goal in three straight home games to start the year. That is an NHL record. The first time that's ever happened. And the Sabres.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Are looking for their first lead of the season. A lot of things going on. It's early, obviously, in the National Hockey League. They need a win tonight, though. And I think Lindy's, it sounds to me like the sense of urgency is really growing right now, and it should. There's no doubt about that. Okay, what we're going to do now is we're going to take a timeout. When we come back, Adrian Autry, Red, he is the head coach of Syracuse University men's basketball team, and he's going to join us on the Wester Hotline. We're going to talk about the October 25th exhibition against the University of Buffalo. We just heard from George Helkovich, the third head coach at UB. Now we're going to hear from Syracuse head coach Adrian Autry after this timeout on WGR. We heard from University of Buffalo men's head basketball coach George Helkovich, the third, a little bit earlier in the program, and now we're going to hear from Syracuse head basketball coach Adrian Autry. The two teams will hook up October 25th. That's next Saturday for an exhibition at KeyBank Center in downtown Buffalo. Joining me on the Wester Hotline right now is Coach Red Autry. Coach, welcome to the program. It's Sal Capaccio here in Buffalo. Good to talk to you again.
How you doing? Good talking to you.
You too. Before I do anything, Coach, I want to tell you, I still say to this day, the shot against Missouri with a minute left in 1994 should have counted, all right? I just want you to know that.
I was watching that the other day. Yeah, it should have counted.
Coach was on his knees falling, and the ball went in, and they didn't count. It should have been an and one. The game ultimately goes to overtime. You were 1 year ahead of me at Syracuse University, so I watched your career unfold and obviously followed your career path to where you are today. What's it been like for you to be a lifer pretty much at Syracuse for so long? I know you had a couple detours along the way, but really been at Syracuse for a long time under Coach Boeheim, both as a player and coach, and now the head men's basketball coach. What's that been like for you?
It's a dream come true, you know, and, you know, once I finished playing my playing days here, you know, I didn't know if I would be back and didn't really, to be honest, it didn't really kind of cross my mind. And then as my professional career started winding down and started my family, I actually took a visit back up here and just didn't realize just how much, you know, this place, how special this place was and how much I missed this place. And not knowing, you know, probably 3 years later that I'll be back here raising my family here and living here and working for Coach. So it's really, you know, a dream come true.
And obviously you took over Coach Boeheim just a few years ago. Team has not been to the NCAA tournament in 5 years, but a lot of optimism around the program this year, Coach. What's different about this year's program that gives you confidence you guys can take the next step?
You know, I think everything, the rules changed and everything kind of, you know, as we all know, the NIL space and everything. So I think it took us some time as a university, as a program to kind of adapt and adjust to that. And I thought, you know, under John Weilhack, our leadership, our AD, he did a phenomenal job of making a quick pivot and getting us up to speed. And I think, you know, this year, you know, it is accumulation of those first 2 years that we had from, you know, a little bit of success, not the success that we expect, that we wanted the first year, but, you know, moving in the right direction. Then last year was obviously a dip. And I think, you know, this year is a combination of not only from a program standpoint, but even me from a staff and coaching and how we build things and how things need to be. I think it's, you know, that's accumulation of these last 2 years. So that's where the excitement is for me and the excitement is for, you know, the buzz around our program right now.
I asked Coach Helkovich this when he joined me last hour. I'll ask you the same question. Is the situation with NIL and Portal, if you don't embrace it, you're going to be left behind? And this is the rules now. These are the changes. And even if you don't like it, you have to kind of embrace it and you have to kind of roll with the times or else you're not going to be left around.
No question. I mean, I think it's if you don't, you will be left behind. And I think every program, every school has adapted to it. You know, some quicker than others, some, you know, slowly, you know, whatever it is. But, you know, it's a fact. If you don't embrace it, you have no chance.
Adrian Autry joining me here on the West Hur Hotline. All right, Coach, let's talk a little bit about your team. And look, I know there's a lot of players to get to, but of course, a name that everybody's going to be familiar with, the last name Anthony, Kion Anthony, commits to Syracuse University. Tell us through the recruiting process and landing Kion and what that meant to your program after obviously having Carmelo as such a big legacy part of Syracuse University.
You know, it was a well thought out process. It was really, you know, I think on both ends, you know, I know on us particularly, you know, we really had to make sure that this was going to work. And, you know, he passed the test every year. You know, he just kept getting better. And it's a credit to Kion and even talking to Melo through the process. You know, it was clear that he wanted to forge his own path. And obviously, you know, he has a great relationship with his dad. But, you know, he had to check some boxes for us and we had to check some boxes for him. So, you know, I think it all aligned, you know, him getting better, him, you know, wanting to forge his own way, him, you know, being different, you know, him just, you know, Kion just consistently getting better each year, you know, never started in high school until his senior year, but he just kept going and playing on really good teams and getting better each summer. You know, I just saw the development and again, still a ways to go, but I mean, a talented young man, but he, you know, I think the biggest thing that stood out is that he wanted to forge his own path.
And he's going to join a lineup that includes a couple of returning starters and players. J.J. Starling, a local product, obviously came back to Syracuse. And Donnie Freeman, who may be a little bit incomplete in his college career. I'm excited to see Donnie back in a Syracuse jersey. I think there's some questions that would happen. How excited are you to see those guys return to your lineup?
You know, you want to have returners and you want to have experience. I mean, again, Donnie, you know, played, you know, about 14 games last year. And then, you know, he didn't finish out the end of last year. But, you know, our relationship has always been strong. So there was no worry on our end. But, you know, everyone, you let it be. But he knew what he wanted to do and he was committed to it. And we got committed to him. And I think, you know, when JJ, you know, when he finished his season out and he was committed to come back, you know, those two guys, those are our building blocks. So, you know, we went into the portal, we built this team, you know, with the incoming freshmen, you know, we wanted to build around those two. Those two guys were our starting blocks and build around those guys. So I'm excited. And again, Donnie has really worked hard, changed his body. You know, he's picked up some weight. He grew a little bit. He's moving better. You know, he's fully healthy. He had a really good summer.
Tell us a little bit about some of the other players. I know Sadiq White, obviously a high-level recruit. You get Nate Kings in as well. Tell us a little bit about and some of the fans that might be looking forward to going next Saturday night and what they're going to see on the court from some of your players at Syracuse.
Yeah, you know, you talk about that freshman class. There's a top 10 freshman class in the country, you know, Kion and Sadiq White. And, you know, Sadiq White is just a, you know, a big-time athlete, 1% athlete, you know, NBA athlete, but he's more than an athlete. Plays with aggression, you know, was very smart, you know, fast, team player. You know, he just brings a lot to the team on both sides of the ball. You know, you got Luke Fennell, who joined us late from Australia, 6'6 combo guard, can really shoot the ball high IQ. You know, you could tell he's played with older guys. Aaron Womack, obviously, is another freshman that, you know, people don't talk about. 6'6", just continually getting better. And then we brought in, you know, another freshman at the end late, Sheffy Diarra. Big body guy, you know, skill, can shoot it, you know, but still is trying to, you know, adjust to the game. You know, he's from Europe, so he's still adjusting to the game. And, you know, you talk about our guys that we brought in, you know, you first got to start with the point guard, Nate George from Georgia Tech, you know, one of the best point guards, I believe, in the country. A guy that, you know, led the ACC in assists, you know, still improving from up the road in Toronto. So, you know, we're excited to have him, a guy that's a leader that can get people shots and make shots himself. So, you know, we'll start there. Nate Kings is, you know, one of the best shooters, you know, I've seen since I've been in college. You know, really excited for him. You know, not only is he a catch and shoot guy, he's a movement guy. He's got better. You know, Tyler Betts, he's another guy that, you know, that has really improved and gotten better. He's a big time recruit coming out of high school, you know, and he had his freshman bumps, you know, people think, oh, he didn't play that much. It's hard to play as freshman, you know, it really is, you know? So again, I thought he had a really good summer. He's improved, a guy that can shoot it. So we got a lot of versatility. I probably, you know, William Kyle from UCLA, you know, big time athlete. You're talking about, you know, another 1% athlete, you know, 6'9", 7'3", wingspan, great lob threat, you know, plays above the rim. Has an unbelievable motor. So, you know, we're excited. We're excited with the group.
And listen, I mean, I'm a Syracuse junkie. Heck, I remember when you were getting recruited, Coach, to Syracuse University. So I know just from an outsider looking in, for me, you said it, versatility. I love the versatility of this lineup. And that allows you to kind of move things around. How will that allow you to play the game a little bit differently and really match up as the season goes on in a tough ACC?
You know, I think when you got this type of versatility, you know, as a coach, you know, you just got to make sure you really dive into everything and make sure you put the units together that can give you the chance to be successful. And I think, you know, us, our coaching staff, that's what we're doing. We're going to use the preseason, these exhibition games and practice to continue to try to figure out, you know, the best units, because we do have a lot of talent and depth, you know, what works and try different looks.
Syracuse University head men's basketball coach Adrian Autry here on the Wester Hotline. And, Coach, obviously your counterpart over there at Syracuse in the women's side, Felicia Leggett-Jack, we're all very familiar with her here at the University of Buffalo. Mm-hmm. She's a Syracuse grad. She goes back. What's it been like watching the women's program and the success under her coming aboard over the last few years with you kind of side by side right there?
It's exciting. You know, she's just a ball of energy, super positive. You know, I'm sure everyone knows that. And I'm excited to watch her team this year. She's done a phenomenal job. I get a chance to watch them practice pretty much every morning. And I'm always smiling and excited to watch her teams play. They play hard. They play with passion. They play together and they're tough. So sure, you know, things that you guys remember, you know, her teams would be, you know, it's the same here. So it's been fun. Again, she's from here. So, you know, this is, you know, more than a job for her. You know, she loves this place and, you know, we spend a lot of time together, so I'm excited for her and her team. She has a good team this year.
What do you like to do off the court, Coach? Tell everybody a little bit, get familiar with you here in Buffalo. I know you spend time with your family and all that, but what do you like to do?
Yeah, you know what? I obviously if I try to get away from basketball and watching stuff, you know, typically, I try to get out there and play golf. I can't play it, but I get out there and I try, you know, in my time. So that's the one thing that I picked up as of late.
Wait, I have to ask you, can you beat Coach Boeheim though in golf? Can you do that?
No one can beat Coach Boeheim as long as he has a scorecard.
I love that. It's a great answer, Coach. Listen, Saturday, October 25th, UB against Syracuse in Buffalo. That's pretty cool. Then, by the way, the KeyBank Center is going to be hosting the NCAA tournament this year as well. So it's really cool. We have a lot of college basketball here in Buffalo, but this is a pretty big time event. It's going to be pretty cool to see you guys come over here and a lot of Orange fans. There'll be a lot of UB fans. Should be a rocking crowd next Saturday. Should be pretty fun, Coach.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. You know, I'm excited for it, you know, and I know that, it'll be an exciting game and, you know, just excited to get there and play, you know, get our guys out. And I'm sure Coach George is ready to play somebody else too, right? We're tired of playing against each other, so this will be fun.
That's exactly what he said. He said his guys are ready to play somebody else. Been, beating up on each other for a while. No doubt.
No question.
Coach, best of luck this year. I know I'm actually coming up for the football game on Saturday because this is a Bills bye week. Normally I'd be with the Bills, but I'm coming up to the football game on Saturday. It's homecoming weekend, so hopefully we can get Fran Brown and the boys to take care of Pitt this weekend as well.
Yeah. They're getting ready, so I'll be there as well, so I'm excited.
All right, Coach. Thanks a lot. Really appreciate you doing this. Best of luck this season.
Okay, take care. All right, bye-bye.
All right, you got it. That is Coach Adrian Autry from Syracuse University. Yeah, and listen, if you don't know, just look it up. It was the 1994 NCAA tournament, Syracuse against Missouri. There's about a minute left in regulation. Very close game. Adrian Autry is the point guard for Syracuse. He had a great second half in this game. Missouri was the number one seed in the bracket. He has the ball right around the foul line. He gets tripped up. He's on the ground. He throws the ball up in the air. It goes in the hoop. They wave it off, Joe. They say, no. It should have been continuation. They said the foul was on the floor before he got rid of it. He was on his knees when it happened. If that counts.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Syracuse wins, but since it didn't, I mean, you know, obviously butterfly effect, you never know, but since it didn't, they go to overtime and they lose. So tough one. That was 1994, and they have not made the NCAA tournament in 5 years. Exhibition game Saturday at KeyBank Center. And you can go online. You can get tickets, by the way. I believe Syracuse is the host, but go online and get tickets, and you can go to KeyBankCenter.com. That's right, KeyBankCenter.com, if you want to see Syracuse take on UB. And by the way, before that, it's going to be Mike McDonald and Damon taking on Nazareth at 3:30 p.m. All right, we're going to take a timeout here. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the program here on a Wednesday as we head you towards Sabres Live with the Sabres taking on the Senators tonight here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. Hey, we are one day away from an awesome podcast event that you are invited to be a part of with me and Matt Bove. It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. We're going to be live tomorrow night at Buffalo Old Brewery in their beer garden. It's going to be amazing and awesome. 6:30 p.m. is when the podcast starts. We're going to lead you into Thursday night football, Steelers and Bengals. You can enjoy discounts on four packs of award-winning brews like Iron Island IPA and Cloudy McCloudface Hazy IPA. Be a part of the live audience, talk football with us, discover one of Buffalo's hidden gems, Buffalo Old Brewery, 1221 East Lovejoy Street. I've been there. It's amazing. They got a stage. We're going to be on the stage. We're going to have some WGR giveaways there. It's going to be awesome. Come on by. Matt Bove and I, alive. It's Always Game Day in Buffalo right here at Buffalo Old Brewery inside their beer garden. Again, 1221 East Lovejoy Street. That is tomorrow. We're going to be going live at 6:30. We'll do the show for about an hour, and then we're going to hang out with everybody a little bit as you lead into and we lead you into Thursday night football, Bengals and Steelers. All right, well, that's going to kick off your week number 7, Bengals and Steelers. Interesting. I can't imagine right now the Bengals beating them, Joe, to be honest with you, but, I mean, it is the Bengals and Steelers. You never know. Sometimes weird things happen. The AFC North, of all the divisions, might have the weirdest kind of, like the Browns beat the Steelers every year once, it seems like, right? I mean, it's kind of always crazy. It doesn't matter who the quarterbacks are, who the people are, the coaches are. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's interesting. And do you hear what they're calling this game on Thursday night?
Oh, my God. Is it well, hold on. They're two 40-year-old quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Is it the Grandpa Bowl or something?
It's the Icy Hot Bowl.
The Icy Hot Bowl. Okay. I totally get it. The Icy Hot Bowl.
It's a combined age of 80 between the two quarterbacks. It's pretty insane to even think about, but...
Do you know the last time two 40-plus-year-old quarterbacks played each other?
I could not tell you. I'm going to be honest with you. Is it recent, or is it a good chunk of time ago?
Not too long ago.
Hmm.
Who would you think is a 40-year-old quarterback that would play?
Well, Tom Brady would have played somebody, yeah.
Okay.
I'm just trying to think of him? The other...
Well, it was Drew Brees.
Oh, yeah, that would do it. I forget about Brees. Drew Brees.
Yeah, just a couple of years ago, but, you know, a few years ago now, obviously. He'd been retired for, 4 or 5 years now. So, but yeah, that's what I saw this morning. So who knows if it's right, but that's what I saw this morning. Last time two 40-plus-year-old quarterbacks met. But that's what you're going to get in Joe Flacco and Aaron Rodgers. By the way, the Steelers are 4-1, and they're atop the AFC North right now. If they win this game, I mean, they're going to be, and by the other thing is the Bengals are still in second place in the AFC North at 2-4. If they win this game, they'd be 3-4 and they'd be like 1.5 games behind Pittsburgh. Still, I wouldn't think they'd have a chance with still no Burrow, but it is a big game for them after starting off 2-0, because the Ravens are 1-5 and the Browns are 1-5. So yeah, that's tomorrow night. And again, Matt Bove and I are going to be at Buffalo Old Brewery, 1221 East Lovejoy Street. Sabres live up next. Sabres Senators tonight at 7 p.m. Thanks for being with me today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.